who I am. It doesn't have to be who you are. Jesus actually transforms people here. And I'm proud of him. And all of you who serve us in those capacities. I appreciate Liz's courage in sharing that aspect of her life. But to hear someone say, I know I'm different. It's worth whatever you have to go through. So for those who facilitated her healing, I thank you. All of us are benefited by her growth and her healing, because we love her, and sometimes we just have to wait people out. Give God opportunity to overtake them. So you're gracious with one another in patience, and I appreciate that, because remember, give grace this week because next week it may be your turn to need it. How many of you have noticed recently the solicitation on the flashing signs for volunteers for the volunteer fire department and EMT people? I assume we have a shortage. One of the interesting things about our culture compared to many, many others on the planet is how much volunteerism happens in America. And a lot of it is predicated on the formatting of our nation as a Christian nation. We have a history as a people of pulling together. Now, some of that has eroded over time, but volunteerism has remained pretty much in the 25 to 28% of the population since around 2002 when people started tracking this stuff. In the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that 62.8 million people volunteered their time in some way from September 2013 to September 2014. The Corporation for National and Community Service estimates the value of that work was about $173 billion that the government doesn't have to spend because people are helping people. In other nations, the government takes that on, and of course, people pay for it in taxes. 138 million Americans, or 62.5%, reported being involved in informal volunteer activities in 2013, which included things as helping their neighbor or watching a neighbor's children. There's a lot of interaction that still takes place in our nation. The more metropolitan we get, the less likely we are to see that on a daily basis. But just recently, when the Peets moved back into town, there was a number of us who gathered. We unloaded that truck in under an hour. Boom. You know, people found women setting up the kitchen and men putting beds together. It's part of the community of service that we share as Christian believers. Serving others is an integral part of being an American and being a Christian. And this morning, I want to take a look at some of the things the Lord had to say and do regarding this issue of serving one another. How many of you know there's an attitude of service? How many of you can recognize it when it's not present in a waiter or waitress? You can see it, can't you? I was flabbergasted when we moved here almost 39 years ago now. I was just flabbergasted with the absence of service in this town. It was just, I mean, we had been in some very significant cities along the way, and then some of y'all may remember back then it was a two-lane road to get here from Waldorf. And I was just struck at the attitude of people down there. I could walk into a store, and since I was clearly not a local, they would serve anybody who walked in after me, ahead of me. It was just a phenomenal thing to me. I'd never seen such classic public rudeness fully on display so frequently. It was just astonishing. It's changed a little bit now. More outsiders have come in with better manners. Am I lying? Okay. You get it. If you didn't understand it, you wouldn't be laughing. But, you know, in this issue of service, there are things that happen in the work and presentation of the Lord that should instruct us. For instance, there's this story about Jesus and his crew walk into a place called Capernaum. And when Mark records it, he records it like this. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, when Jesus was in the house, he began to question them. What were y'all talking about while we were on our way over here? And they kept silent. For on the way, they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. And sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And so he took a child and he set him before them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one child like this in my name, say in my name. Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. And not only me, you receive the one who sent me. Who sent him? The Father. So if in the name of Jesus you receive a child in his name, you're not only receiving the child, you're receiving Jesus and the Father who sent him. That's some heavy thought right there, children. Y'all ought to play with that one for a few days. Gnaw on it like a dog with a bone. What were they discussing along the way? Where do I stand in the pecking order? How many of you know what a pecking order is? I remember years ago, back when I was on active duty, we got notice of a officer being transferred to our command. And shortly after we received the notice he was coming, we received correspondence from him wanting to know the lineal numbers of those in his rank already present. Now, the lineal number determines how senior you are in the pecking order among your peers. There's nothing unnatural about asking that, is there? Okay? How many of you know when the company starts laying off, they don't start with the senior people? There's a pecking order, right? Now, the problem is all that's cultural stuff. And there's a different culture in the kingdom of the Lord. He says to them, what were y'all talking about on the way over here? Now keep in mind, I've said this numerous times, when the Lord asks you a question, he is not looking for information. When Luke gives this account, he says it like this, for Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their heart. Now, how can you know what someone is thinking in their heart?
Well, it's got to be the gift of discernment.
Well, maybe.
Maybe it's a word of knowledge.
Well, that's possible too, but here's one thing about this. When you understand the king and his kingdom, you understand what people misunderstand about the king and his kingdom. And so it's easy to know what they're thinking because you don't think like them anymore. Why were you reasoning in your hearts? Is a question he would say, or the scripture would say, and perceiving what was in their hearts. How would he know this? Because he is the truth. He is the truth. He doesn't just speak the truth. He is the truth incarnate. So whenever truth shows up, it knows what not truth is. And how we think is not truth a good part of the time. So when he asks you a question, I recommend you respond the way Isaiah did. Lord, you know. But they kept silent, Jesus knowing what they were thinking in their heart. Now, I would be so bold to say that I actually know a little bit about serving others. And I can tell you this, it's grossly inconvenient. The Lord is giving us an opportunity to grasp something about what he means in serving others. Look at this statement. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first. How many of you realize that second place is the first loser? Okay. So if anyone wants to be first, and they have the motive to be first, and they read what the Lord says, and their motive is to be first, what will they do? They will outserve everybody else. For what purpose? To be first. That is not the attitude of service. That's the attitude of self-advancement. I've run into it in the church. They'll come in and size up the situation and try to figure out a route to the top. I've got news for you. There is no top when you're the leader. The Bible says that the church is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Jesus being the cornerstone. Now, if you're an apostle and prophet, where does that put you? Walked on routinely. The foundation is the thing that supports. You don't climb to the top of the pyramid. There's no pyramid in the kingdom of God unless it's inverted. And you serve those he sends you. You receive them. So he's trying to point out to them that if you want to be first, then there's an attitude that you have to have, that you're willing to be last. For the first shall be, he shall be last of all and servant of all. There's a spirit of service that Jesus awakens in us when his spirit comes in. Now, there are cultural challenges to this notion, and I've experienced a few of them, and I'll share them anecdotally with you just as a matter of illustration. It would not occur to me, it just wouldn't be a part of my thinking, that when we have a church meal that I would proceed to the head of the line. It just simply wouldn't occur to me. It would occur to me to make sure there's enough for everybody, and to make sure you're getting what you want, to check to see if I need you to bring you a drink or something. And it's not that I want to be first, it's just what I am, okay? However, if I go to a Riversong meal event, and there's a certain black mother that decides to come help the servers that day, and I'm not served first, she gives them the dickens. Why? Because in the black culture, it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Pastor. Sometimes he's knocked up the ladder a little bit. But the fact is there's a culture of honor toward the pastor that's distinct from the white church, which is basically, well, he puts his breeches on the same way I put mine on. I've actually heard that. Now, the same is true in the Korean church. And it's funny to me to walk in some of those meetings where there's a kind of Asian strut. But one of the more awkward moments for me was being in a Korean home as the guest of honor. And as the guest of honor, not only was I served first, I ate ahead of everybody with all the children sitting there at the table watching. When is he going to be through? I want to eat something too. Now, that's an awkward situation for me. Very, very awkward. It's not the only time that something like that happens. In certain situations, I'm people contend with one another to take me out to dinner. And so if I'm in a place for a week or more, every meal is scheduled, and I don't eat every meal except in those situations. Because within their context, that's an expression of honor. And you have to receive it, however awkward it may be to you, because it's their culture. But there's also a culture of the kingdom where honor is expressed quite differently. Sitting down, he called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he must become servant of all. And then he goes on to say, slave. Now, what do you know about a slave? To whom is the slave accountable? His master. And what does the master expect of the slave? Serve those I tell you to serve. You know, when you would walk into a home back in that era, one of the appropriate cultural phenomenon was that you would wash the feet of those who just traveled the dirty, dusty roads as they come into your house. And so if you were the beginning slave, the one being trained for the house, that's where you started, washing people's feet. I remember I was on a cruise many years ago. I think it was our 25th wedding anniversary, something like that, way back then. And we went into this spa thing, and there was some young woman. I don't remember everything, but I remember she was massaging my feet. She'd washed them, and I began to talk to her about how the greatness of humility and the example of the Lord Jesus Christ being pictured for me as she was serving me and refreshing me in this fashion. And I began to speak to her about what a spirit of humility and service will yield in her life over time. And had a little conversation, went on with the rest of the cruise. I found out from another member of our party who had that same woman, she brought that conversation up, and she said, "He must be a really great man." When I hear that kind of stuff, I have a standard response. You need to get out more. You never know what little event in your life, what conversation, what act of obedience, what thing of service. You know, I recently saw a woman struggling with her bags, and I just spontaneously went over, older lady, and just sit at all that. "You're a sweet young man." "Thank you." People appreciate that kind of response. But sometimes we don't recognize a servant spirit when we see it. For instance, if there was a good payday, there'd be fried chicken after Sunday church. "Thank you, Keith, for your act of service, son." There would be fried chicken after church on Sunday. And my mama would always eat the neck and the back. She said those were her favorite pieces. Not mine. You ever had a chicken neck? You ever try to get meat out of a chicken neck? Or off those skinny little ribs on the back? You know, it wasn't until after the children were grown and gone I realized what she was doing. She was putting everybody else ahead of herself. Later, I learned her favorite piece is the thigh. But mothers, a good mother, is often a wonderful example of what it means to be slave to all. You know, when the baby's colicky all night, who's up with it all night? The mother. And if she's on the third day of a migraine headache, who is still cooking and feeding and dressing and sending them children out the door? Men, who does it? Ma does. So a good mother is a good example of what it means to be a slave to all. But the Lord was very intentional about his example. There's a story that John records the night before, the night of his betrayal, in which he is washing the feet of his disciples. And in this act of service, he illustrates something. He says, "You call me teacher and Lord." He asks him this question, "Do you know what I've done to you? Has the Lord ever done anything to you?" Oh, baby. If he hadn't, you just hang around. "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's." Any of you ever been part of a foot washing? Handful of us. We used to do that fairly regularly years ago among our leadership. And there's there is a phenomenon about that act of humility that's really revealing. And it will expose those who are too proud to wash another person's feet. in history, it was common for the king to wash the feet of the poor. And then as history moved forward, they decided they'd rather give the poor a coin. How many of you know we throw money at stuff when we should be throwing ourselves at it? Okay. In this act, Jesus is setting a standard. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Now, who is it saying this? You call me Lord and teacher. And if I'm willing to be the servant, then you must be willing to be the servant. Because it is in the servant spirit that we receive others. Liz shared a wonderful testimony with us a few minutes ago. But what you may not know about that is that those who facilitated the healing of her brokenness have devoted themselves to that ministry week in and week out. They have traveled across the country to be trained. They devote hours as a volunteer staff together praying. They consult together about who they're going to receive next. They work plans and schedules out. They are busy all the time around here serving almost in an invisible realm. But they transform the lives of broken people. Now, these, they have given themselves to the spirit of service, along with whatever training is necessary to make their service more excellent because they know who they represent. And when they receive the one the Lord sends to them, they receive His presence when they come, and the Father's insight as they minister. We are representatives in accepting people because we receive them in the name of another. And when we do, He shows up with His goodies to heal their baddies. I made that up. You can quote it if you like. Truly I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. He who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. At this point in my life, I can say to you, I know a little bit about being the sent one. And I can tell you, there's a tremendous difference between those who receive me when I'm the sent one and those who reject me. And it is night and day difference in the effects that happen when the Lord shows up with His presence. We go not on our own. We are sent. We are deployed by the Lord into our various circumstances. Knowing what they were thinking in their hearts. Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. You know, there's a reason that we call Riversong Christian Learning Center Riversong Christian. Because we receive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we did this for very specific reasons. When I heard that young couples could not begin to obey the command to be fruitful and multiply until they could find a slot for their child in a daycare, I said, we've got to start a daycare. Now, I had no idea how much work that was going to be, how expensive it was going to be, and how inconvenient it was going to be. And then you get the state involved. Cause His face to shine upon them and give them peace. All right. He who receives a little one in my name receives me and the one who sent me. Now that principle operates in Riversong Christian Learning Center to the point that at least two of our staff have come to Christ in the process of being part of our staff. our staff is excellent in service. Parents know that it's good when the children don't want to go home with the parents, but they want to stay here. No, you're going home with me. Or they come rushing in the morning to hug their little teacher. Okay. There are many dynamics about why it works so well. But one of the primary reasons is because of Pastor Robin Beal. For those of you who are not aware, today we are honoring our Riversong staff. And they are an amazing group of ladies. I want to brag on them for a couple of minutes here, so just bear with me while I go. All of the teachers on our staff are pursuing their associate's degree in early childhood development, with the exception of Mrs. Dana Smith, who's completing her bachelor's this October. Trish Dean was here as a part of the foundation of Riversong back in 2009, and then they moved away, and she came back in the summer of 24. She's back on staff. She's carrying a 3.6 average at CSM in her early childhood development. Kathy Donerson's been with Riversong since March of 2011. She also got married in 2014. She's currently at CSM doing well in her classes, and she's one of those who came to Christ under Robin's administration. Where's Miss Angel? I saw her. There she is. There's Miss Angel. Children have a little angel down there. Angel has been with us since 2012, and she is also pursuing her associate's degree in early childhood development. I'm so proud of her. Angel is one of those special people who was rescued off the streets by a man who rescued about 100 people in the course of his life. And she and her husband Thomas were both rescued by this wonderful, now deceased gentleman. He passed just last year. But one of the things that's going on is the state is moving toward control of all education of children. And as part of that, they're setting things up so that if you don't have a degree, you can't work in any of these things. So to help that process along, they're funding the education that these people are taking. They're getting a free education. Isn't that wonderful? Stephanie Kitchen has been with Riversong since August of 2013, accepted Christ as her Savior. She's at CSM with a GPA of 3.6. Sarah Zimmerman is just one of those, everybody loves her, nobody hates her, nobody's going to eat worms kind of gal. She's been with us since November 2013, graduated with her associates last May with a 3.9, and she's leaving the end of the month to pursue her bachelor's degree. Wow. Is Miss Courtney here this morning? Where's Miss Courtney? There she is. Stand up, darling. Let me see you. Come on now. Come on. She came to us when she was still in high school. And now she's working as a staff down there, and she is just a breath of fresh air. You know, I hug her every chance I get. She is also pursuing her associates at CSM. Miss Brittany is starting her classes this summer. Miss Jennifer. Miss Jennifer is a wise owl. No, I'm sorry, is working with our Wise Owl program, which is the before and after care. She drives the van and just does whatever needs to be done. That's the kind of spirit of service they have done. With two new members, Keisha Shern and Miss Melody, are both pursuing their associates at CSM. Barbara Mashter has been with us since 2011, and she's the assistant director. She's attending CSM carrying a 3.7. Some days I wish I could sit out there and heckle. I went through all of that because I want you to understand the excellence of those who are serving and their commitment to serving with excellence. They have both a wonderful spirit and intentionality in increasing their ability to be better at what their hands have found to do. And I'm just incredibly proud of all of them. In particular, Miss Robin, who's been leading this parade since her sister handed me a resume and said, "Here." And that's how our relationship began. But you've heard Robin's testimony along the way. We have a wonderful relationship. But one of the things that has happened I think it was somewhere just last year, she was singled out in a state called gathering of daycare supervisors, singled out as being the only daycare center in the entire network that had all of their staff pursuing their education. Wow. Now, if you go down to her office, you'll find several books about like this. And they're all state requirements that we've had to satisfy to be certified and accredited with the state of Maryland. We just got our second accreditation last month. So if Miss Robin would come up here, please. Don't you just love how uncomfortable this makes her feel? I understand completely, darling. However, it was important to your staff that something Ishmael. Congratulations, Pastor Robin Beal, on successfully leading your staff in Maryland State Department of Education accreditation 2015 through 2018. And notice, the clock is ticking. Congratulations, darling. You want to say something? No? Go. No, you do, too. Come here and brag on your staff.
I always say that accreditation is my staff making me look good, not me making my staff look good. Because the reality is that I could never complete accreditation alone. So I'm going to ask my staff to come forward. Everyone that's on the Riversong staff, please come forward. Without each and every one of these ladies, without each and every one of these ladies, there would be no way for Riversong. Come on down. Come on down. There would be no way for Riversong to survive, and I'm very fortunate because I have a wonderful group of ladies, and rarely ever do you work with people that when you ask them to do something, they just do it. And I am really fortunate. And sometimes when I'm looking around, they'll all run to me and say, "What are you looking for? What do you need us to do?" So I can be at the banquet, I could be somewhere, and they will run up to me and say, "Okay, you're looking around. What do you want us to do for you? How can we serve you?" And I have really been blessed, and accreditation is the staff. It's not me. It's them. They go through a lot. People come in and look at them. They inspect them. They tell them they don't like what they're doing. They tell them their room needs to be flipped upside down or turned the other way. And they look at them with a smile and say, okay, we will get it right the next time. And this time they got it right. And we are now Maryland State Department of Education accredited for another 3 years. To the staff of Riverside.
I suspect, ladies, you share Miss Robbins' discomfort, so feel free to flee to your seat. Just as a matter of information, there are people who get on the waiting list for Riversong because of the reputation that Miss Robin and her staff has acquired in this community. And even though there are some places that are a bit less expensive, they prefer the atmosphere for their children that they find here. And I'm grateful to the Lord for that. You know, there's a divine reciprocity in serving and accepting. We are those who are called to serve others. And it's not just in the context of the congregation. Many of you serve in your employment, and you do your best to be a good representative of those who send you to these meetings. You try to be a good steward of the megabucks that the government throws at your program. There are numbers of you here who have changed jobs rather than allow yourself to be compromised in your integrity before the Lord. These are things that matter to people. You know, I remember when I was a Christian who happened to be in the Navy, that when crisis would show up in someone's life, they would find a way to my office, and I would represent the Lord in uniform. Now, this is who we are. We don't change our stripes just to come in on a Sunday morning. This thing is in us. And sometimes it's just really inconvenient when your heart requires you to do something your body is just too tired to do. But somebody has to be there. Somebody has to answer that call. Somebody has to lift that box, cook that meal, hold that hand. Somebody's got to do it, and it's us. And I'm really, really grateful for the level of care that happens across the way. You know, in the economies of the world, there are only three ways to advance: a product, a service, or an idea. Now, how many are grateful that the idea of the internet occurred to somebody? And it has changed the way lots of things are done globally. How many of you are grateful for an automobile that will actually run on roads that are paved? It helps us move forward. But the thing that touches us most deeply, most personally, is when we run into service with a right attitude. You know, I've been with USAA Insurance Company for 42 years. They are the best in the country. And man, they're like that. When Al and Alexia had that hurricane visit their home 2 or 3 years ago, was it 12 hours? Within 12 hours, they were on site. Within 12 hours. Several of my other friends here in the congregation had other companies. USAA settled like that. The others nickeled and dimed you to death because they're not there to serve you. It's the difference between a bank and a credit union. A bank exists to make money. A credit union exists to serve its members. We understand these things at a very personal level. So as you consider what your role in the kingdom of God is, don't think about it as being on the platform or leading worship or any of that jazz. Where has the Lord assigned you? Serve Him there. Pay attention to those needy around you. How many of you know people are broken everywhere? They're just broken, and they need a place like our Father's house, and somebody has to introduce them to the concept. You know, I know a place where your broken heart can get healed. I know a place that will help you get through your divorce recovery. I know a place, and you know that place. We try to tell you about these ministries so you keep it at the forefront of your mind, because good things happen at our Father's house, because we receive in the name of the Lord in whatever condition they are. But we do not want you to stay in that condition. Would you stand? Father, I'm just so grateful. I'm just so thoroughly grateful to you at your mercy and grace to us. And I'm thankful for those, Lord, who have found their way into your opportunity to serve in the right spirit with dedication and excellence. Both the Riversong staff, Lord, and our various invisible ministries who are routinely transforming the lives of others as your grace shows up and transmits your truth through their open hearts. I praise you, Lord, for those who are teaching us how to hear God and for those who are showing us how to do what we hear. I thank you so much, Lord, for those who are devoted in so many ways to all of our households, to our children. I thank you for my staff. Lord, they're like the Riversong staff. I see you looking around. What are you looking for? They're there, Lord, with the right spirit. They're intentional in their service. And I'm grateful to you, Lord, for the atmosphere that you've created here. I pray that as we go forward today, we will be freshly infused with the clarity of what it means to lay down our life for others. It's the simple business of paying attention and responding to what we see. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, to continue to give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ, and that you will open the eyes of our understanding that we might be able to see where you've sent us. To this I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first-time guests, we invite you out.